Here, Jesus is talking, and we'll go ahead and back up to verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And for a little while tonight, I would just like to preach to you on this thought. A childlike love. A childlike love. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, God, these people can't see my heart, but you can. Dear God, you know where I stand with you. How incapable I am. And God, how needy I am of you tonight to do the work in which only you can, Lord. God, you've worked on my heart for some month now. And I ask that you would take everything that you've tried to do in my heart and soul and you would transplant it into the hearts and lives of your people. Dear God, I beg that you would bind every opposing power of hell. In the name of Jesus, dear God, would you give us liberty and unction, dear God, and pour thy sweet spirit out on our lives, Lord. Dear God, if you'll just do this and allow me to be thy mouthpiece tonight, dear God, then I can lay my head down tonight knowing that you did what you wanted to do, dear God, and that's all I'm asking. Accomplish your work, Lord. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you, Lord. We ask these things in the precious, holy, blood-stained name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, first, I would like to share a story with you, a true story about a little girl who grew up in a broken family. Mom and Dad cared more about doing what they wanted to do than loving that precious girl. The child never did anything to deserve it. And yet, this is the situation in which she found herself. Tossed to and fro with no permanent home to stay in. In the foster system for over 2 years. One day was introduced to a couple and their children. This couple was far from perfect. Had so much to learn, knew nothing about raising a little girl. But something this couple had learned over the years is a child is not looking for a perfect parent. A child only wants a parent that will love them. And I've seen it in my own life. If you'll just pour love into your children, God will do what no one else can. But back to our story about this young lady. This young lady didn't understand the things that were taking place and the events going on in her life. And oftentimes asked the Father, Will you ever leave me? Will you be here for me? Now these were in the beginning stages. But this father and mother stood back over time in amazement at what love could do in a young child's heart. And over time, those questions and insecurities seemed to vanish away as if they never were. And I've heard now that every day when those parents come home, there's a running of little footsteps through the house, calling unto that mom and that dad, hold me, to tell them how much that she loved me. See, all of us in here today have a similar story. See, whether you believe it or not, you came from a broken family. See, before you came to know the Lord, you were in the family of Satan. Your mother and your father cared nothing about you. Only worried what they could do with their lives and their ways. And then one day, if you have ever accepted Him, you were introduced and adopted by some parents that loved you. Yeah. Now, whereas in the case of the story of our father and our mother in this little girl's life, see, we were introduced to a heavenly Father. And I just want to stop for a second and say, if you've never been introduced to the heavenly Father, then the rest of this message doesn't apply to you. And you can't benefit from what God is trying to do tonight. But if you are here tonight and realize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, then you don't have to wait to the end of this service. Matter of fact, I encourage you, right now in this time and this place, we'll put this service on hold. We'll sit down with the Word of God and we'll show you, thus saith the Word of God, and introduce you to that Heavenly Father. Truth is, we don't know if this service is even going to finish. I believe that we are closer to eternity than any of us realize. Literally, the twinkling of an eye, and we'll all be gone. Well, since nobody's moving, I'm going to assume you know Him. If not, I'm asking Him to tear you up one side and down the other. Well, we see these situations, these similarities, and how we were introduced to this heavenly Father and brought into a new family. Not only is this a heavenly Father, but unlike the parents in our story, this is a perfect Father with unconditional love, never makes mistakes, never does anything wrong to His children. See, guys, this thought of childlike love is really pierced my heart. Think about it. Children. And I'm getting ahead of my... We'll just slow down. These two main thoughts came to mind when I was thinking about this, a childlike love. And the first question that came to mind was why we should have a childlike love. In John 15, 13... the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 4 and 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. So why we should have a childlike love? Well, I don't know about you, but as I've been chewing on this, I began thinking about this new family that I was introduced to. And I would like to share with you why I should have a childlike love, if you would bear with me. I grew up in a broken home. My mom and dad got divorced when I was 5 years old. We were never in church outside of the very few times my aunt and uncle took us. I know most of you have heard this story a million times, but you're going to hear it again. I wandered in darkness until I was 15 years old. Then out of the blue one day at school, not knowing what was ahead, a stranger came up to me, a fellow student, and asked me if I would come to a revival service. Needless to say, by the end of that revival service, I got gloriously born again, and I got transplanted from a broken home to a heavenly home. So that right there is enough to have a childlike love, right? It gets better. Me being the wicked, evil person that I was, got away from God, walked out on my family in October of 2004. By May of 2005, I had filed for a divorce. I walked away from a beautiful young lady and two boys because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I thought alcohol, drugs, and strange women was more important than serving God. I do not know why God left me on this earth. I ended up joining the military and going to Iraq, expecting God to kill me while I was there, knowing how bad I was out of the will of God. Before I went to Iraq, for selfish reasons, I remarried my beautiful love. I was not where I needed to be, and I did not remarry her for the right reasons. And just in case you're wondering, there was no other marriages in between there. We are one husband and one wife. Came back from Iraq. The drinking, the drug use only got worse and worse. Matter of fact, it absolutely consumed my life. To be honest with you, pretty much the only thing I remember between my first tour to Iraq and my second tour to Iraq is my wife coming up to me and telling me that my son, Ethan, wants to know why Daddy's so mean all the time. That's the memory I have. I went back to Iraq again. I had things set up for my funeral before I left. Done talked to the preacher. Done talked to who was going to sing the songs. Knew that God was not going to let me live again. There's no way in the condition that I was in that God was going to spare me again. September of 2011, I made it back stateside out of the military. No, April of 2011. I made it stateside out of the military. The drinking just persisted. The drugs, all of it. I ended up in a psych ward in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. After sitting on my bed at the house, with a pistol in my hand ready to take my own life. God stopped me. I did not love my wife at that time. And to be honest, she probably didn't love me. She didn't have much to love. But in her defense, she wasn't saved. And God placed this thought in my mind. If you do this, your boys will never understand why they don't have a dad. I remember it just like it's yesterday. I know the way this is going right now, many of you may have not ever heard my story before. And that's just a little piece of the wicked, perverse man that I was. You may be asking yourself the same questions that I ask myself every day. Why did you leave me here, God? As many times as I spit in your face, as many times as I trampled on the shed blood of Jesus, why did you leave me here? September of 2011, I turned back to God because He gave me one more opportunity. And this is what I told Him. I don't know what you can do with it. There's not much left. I've ruined everything you've ever placed before me, including my own family. But God, whatever you can do, I'm yours. If I'm not mistaken, 2013, Jared got saved. 2015, my wife got saved. Also, my son, Ethan. June 28th of 2015, God called me to preach. Amen. 2020, what some may consider the worst year of your life. You want me to tell you what I look at it as? I watched my 18-year-old son, my oldest son, graduate high school. I saw my youngest son start his senior year. I celebrated 19 years with the best thing that ever happened to me outside of salvation. And this little girl, 2016, was brought into our lives. You want to know why I should have a childlike love? Because He has loved me when I was unlovable. He has done more for me than I could ever repay, and definitely more than I deserve. I deserve to be in hell with my back broke in the deepest, darkest torments of life. I deserve for my boys to be running these roads, acting like hell itself. And yet here we are today in 2020, all in the same church, serving God. Because God has been good. I still don't know why God kept me around. Because if you only knew the depravity that I sunk to this day I'll never understand it. But I'm going to do what He asked me to do. So I don't know why you should have childlike love, but I can guarantee you I know why I should have childlike love. What is childlike love? A childlike love is innocent. Think about it. I was thinking about baby Alice. That baby knows nothing other than he has somebody that loves him. Nothing other than he has somebody that loves him. Innocent love. Hasn't been tainted by this world. Hasn't been damaged by the people around him. Just innocent, pure love. A childlike love is unconditional. Unconditional. How many parents we got in here? How many of you has made mistakes with your children and did something you shouldn't have done to your children? And yet how many on a regular basis hears the words, "I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad." That's an unconditional love. They don't love you because you're perfect. They just love you. A childlike love is trusting. I think about Isabel or Atlas, either one. I think about them a lot. This girl was scared to death when she came to the house. Scared to death. Now, when I come home from work, if she's outside, she runs to the edge of the front porch. Daddy, 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 catch me. And if I'm too close to the porch, she says, Daddy, back up. I can jump farther than that. What reason does she have to trust me? And yet, every time she knows that if it kills me, I'm going to catch it. Every time. Because she's trusting of the Father. So why we should have a childlike love? I hope that for the last few minutes, you have just took a walk back down memory lane. Despite COVID-19, despite financial ruin, it's all real. I mean, if I was up here preaching because of the size of my bank account, I'd have never came to church. But what God does is permanent and perfect. And He will meet every need. So we see why we should have a childlike love. How we can have a childlike love. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. And notice these couple of words with me. It says in about halfway through the verse, except ye be converted and become. See, when you got saved, you had a childlike love. You were what God wanted you to be as far as right with Him at that moment. The only thing that's changed since then is that we've turned our eyes off of Him. And we're looking at the circumstances and the situations of our lives, trying to figure out how we can make it better. That word converted there simply means to reverse or turn around, almost like repentance. And become as little children. Now, most of you know me. I'm a big kid. And if you were to ask my wife, she said, I've never had a problem being a little child. But deep down within the depths of our heart and soul, when we look at the Father, we've got to be childlike. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, love is an action word. It's easy for me to go around this building and say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But that doesn't mean anything if there's no action behind it. But if you see me invest my time, my effort, my resources into your life, then you know that there's love there. Same way with your kids. Now, some of them are knuckleheads. I'll give them that. I've got three. But within the depths of their souls, they truly try to please the parents. In actions. Should be no different with us. We tell God we're going to do something, and our actions never show it. We've got to put our words into action. Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him? What do children worry about? A childlike love. When's the last time your child said, are we going to be able to eat today? Are we going to have clothes today? Are we going to have a place to sleep? I can't ever recall my children asking me any of those questions. Now I can recall them saying, what am I going to wear today? We got little Miss Diva down here that'll change dresses 5 different times. My boys might ask me, what are we going to eat? And then turn their nose up because they don't like the answer that they get. But the point is, they don't worry about the necessities that they need in their lives, because they have a childlike love that trusts the Father. Yeah. Most of the time, that's contrary with us. We worry about every little thing, especially those things in which we can't even control. We worry about finances. We worry about putting food on the table, having a place for our family to sleep, the clothes that they're going to wear, our own well-being. A childlike love doesn't do that. Some of us don't have a childlike love because we don't trust the Father. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So how do we have a childlike love? We simply give him everything. Well, how do I know that I'm doing that? Are you trying to do more for him today than you did yesterday? Amen. Are you trying to do more for him today than you did yesterday? If I was to pull a shiny sports car up in the parking lot and said, if you do such, 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 and such, you can have this. At least for the guys in the building, we would be breaking our necks to be the first one to get it. Ladies, we'll throw like a $5,000 shopping spree in there. Y'all would break y'all's neck to get it. And yet, every possibility under heaven has been offered to us. Every need provided. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have it right here in front of us, but we choose not to take it because we don't have a childlike love. I leave you with this one more time. Do more for the Father today than we did yesterday. God has been preaching this message to me for over a month now, or there's some about. My greatest prayer tonight was, God, don't let me be a hypocrite and preach something I'm not willing to do in my own life. Now, I do not understand how God is going to preach something to me for a month and then y'all get it in 30 minutes or whatever. But I'm asking that somehow He transplants these truths in our lives. If we can get over all this other junk and get a childlike love, we can accomplish so much more for Him. Yeah. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And we try to fill our lives up with all this stuff that we can't control, instead of doing what we can to see things really happen. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, God, I thank You for Your help tonight. God, I thank You for helping, dear God, me to share this burden that You have given me And I pray that you would take these simple words, dear God, and impart them into the hearts and lives of your people. And I pray, dear God, that you would do what no one else can, dear God, and change us for eternity. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you, Lord. We ask these things in the precious, holy, blood-stained name of Jesus. Amen.